internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, and welcome to The Gamer Show. As always, there's myself, there is a Sam, and there is Chiz. We're doing it.
Sam, do we usually have a different Sam?
We all have two.
Is there?
Mm-hmm. Right. We're doing it earlier
When's
tonight.
A good one turning up?
He's not here tonight. We're doing it earlier tonight because Chiz needs to get home to watch the F1 qualifiers.
No, we've just
Is it the race?
That.
Oh, we've just discussed that. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
You never do.
Okay, so Chiz needs to get back to see the F1 this afternoon. So we're doing it earlier than usual, which basically means that I've not had much of a chance to play any of my games because I normally do it on a Sunday afternoon. So anyway, but we'll push on. We'll push on regardless with the same high level of quality that you expect from this show.
Yeah, it's like we really cram into one day before the podcast.
Speaking of high level of quality, I have to apologise for I'm leaving a swear in the last show. I'm not used to bleeping Sam and Chiz that when I do it, I don't bother to bleep myself. Apologies for that. We also have some feedback. Andy Vaughan on Twitter said, dry stone nuclear wall. I'm struggling to breathe here. My colleagues are wondering if they need to get a first aider. So he obviously appreciated that whole section about nuclear dry stone nuclear wall.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was quite poor list during that. Anyway, and we've also got two reviews in iTunes, but I think officially they're not really reviews because they're actually updates to previous reviews. So we will start with the oldest one, which is the 11th of April, by Mitsuyama. Although I enjoyed hearing my review read out in the show, I was disappointed that you considered it offensive and used it to encourage other listeners to also write an offensive review. My first review was constructive criticism. If I wanted to be offensive, then I may have included something like, considering the show is hosted by two jocks and a tyke, it's not surprising the Bargain Basement games feature quite heavily. But I didn't. Anyway, losing an entire show during post-production kind of validates the comments I made about your production values. Keep up the work. Notice it.
What a tyke.
I'm assuming it's an Englishman, I don't know.
Sounds like, or is it
he thinks
possible,
you're a child.
Is it possible that he meant to infer that I'm actually a lesbian?
And he just hit the wrong
button.
Well, actually, I thought he was suggesting you were Welsh, but I don't think so.
I'm not friggin' Welsh.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, so I don't really know how quite to deal with that, but we'll...
Can we see if we can find a...
Slightly better effort, well done.
Can we find a Welsh star to see if he's better than the other?
It was still 5 stars, so really do appreciate it. I think the main thing was that we actually were trying to be quite offensive, and you suggested that we were being borderline offensive, and so that was where we took it. But anyway, thank you very much for sending us another view. We really do appreciate it, and we hope no malice was intended. Yep. Or I hope no malice was intended. Chiz and Sam probably wish you
worst. We shall continue the hate.
Don't give a rat's ass. Bring it!
We have another review. I think this possibly is the third review somehow that Foreign Clicks has managed to leave us. But anyway.
I think you are our creepiest fan. Well done. Well done.
Foreign Clicks left a review that says, boycott 5 stars. I have been an avid listener of this fine show for nearly a year now, and with every podcast, there's always one part that I thoroughly enjoy. Imagine my show.
There's about a 2 second period in the whole friggin' show.
Imagine my shock and horror to find that most recent episode, my favourite section had been completely overlooked. Namely, what biscuits the hosts were eating this week? Just to answer that question, we weren't actually eating any biscuits that week. That was last week. We didn't have any. I can't remember why. I was so
was
dazed.
It not just after dinner or something?
Yeah, it was maybe something like that. I was so dazed and confused, I didn't know what to eat myself. So I went for an entire layer of Foxy's Classics. I was forced to listen to the presenter stumble through the usual witty banter, crying to my custard creams, wondering just how they could ever fix this atrocious mess. I hope you all feel good about yourselves, you evil buggers. Well, to try and fix that, we have... Sam has actually upped his game tonight.
Yeah, he's well done. You're trying to claim credit for yourself, and then you realise I cut you off.
Sam, hopefully this makes up a difference for you, Foreign Clicks, because tonight Sam has produced the Cooperative Bakery Truly Irresistible White Chocolate Cookies.
Belgian white chocolate
cookies. Belgian white chocolate cookies, and they cost him no less than £1.69 of your English finnings. Mm-hmm. And... the one that I was about to go for seems to have a bite out of it already. Was that Amy in the car on the way over?
They were sealed. Mine had it looked like it had a chunk of it as well.
I presume you'll find them in the book. Well, it's funny because I only opened them when I got here.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Anyway,
back and I was like, one for me.
There is quite a chubby girl who works in the co-op down there. So
thank you very much for your reviews. We really, really appreciate your reviews. We would love more reviews because it always adds to the beginning of the show, frankly. And we're going to make them up even if you don't put a review in. So it'd probably be better if we didn't have to.
Let's go wild and ask people that haven't reviewed before to review. Because it seems to be the same four people. Not that I'm...
Not that we're complaining. Yeah. Yes, it's very good of you to review, even if you're reviewing again. We really appreciate the feedback. Anyway, on to the news. The first thing I've forgotten where we were starting first. So how do you pronounce this guy's name? Shinji Mikami?
Shinji Mikami,
basically. Ah, there we go. Well, that was close.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
It's Dave McDougall.
teaser has been released.
Why is Dave getting a random compliment?
This is a guy we know, just to kind of...
Translation of their name.
Break the fourth wall, it's a guy we know, and I don't know why he just got involved in this at all. It's not even as if he's Asian or anything.
He does look a bit Asian.
Anyway, teaser released for Shinji Mikami's The Evil Within from Bethesda, I think was doing it, wasn't it?
They're
publishing it.
Yeah.
We'll put the trailer in the show notes, but I mean, it wasn't really a trailer in that there was very little gameplay from what I could tell.
They've shown some screenshots since, and it looks very much like it basically looks like Resident Evil as in a third person sort of shooter, but I think it'll go because, well, the guy who's making the game actually created it was Resident Evil, and I made the last good Resident Evil, which was Resident Evil 4. And so it looks like he's going same sort of genre with a new company with a new game, but hopefully taking this to
a brave new world,
a survival horror, which Resident Evil kind of should be. It's turned more action, and this one looks like it'll be more scary.
Yeah, sort of. It certainly was. In a quote from Mikami speaking to IGN, he said he's committed to creating an exciting new franchise. And providing fans the perfect blend of horror and action. And apparently the story is centered around a detective, Sebastian.
Nice.
And his partner.
Is his last name McChuff?
Who attend the scene of a mass murder and find a powerful, mysterious force lying in wake. Wait, I can't talk tonight. Wait.
You never can.
The Ever. Evil Within was released, will be released in 2014.
Sam, can we get you read the stuff more?
No. Yeah.
On Xbox 360, PS3, PC, next-gen consoles, and more details are expected on April the 22nd. So we'll put the trailer in the show notes, but it looked like a trailer for Saw more than an actual video game.
The short trailer that they showed off was a live-action trailer, which was just showing a lot of weird and things that was meant to scare you and whatnot.
There seemed to be a guy sitting making barbed wire. Doesn't he know you can buy that from B&Q?
He was doing some of the barbed wire, but I don't know exactly what. And then
really big at the moment.
And then and then he looked surprised when he cut his finger.
You're making barbed wire, dude.
And there was a guy that looked like he had a safe for a head.
Yeah, I know, which had barbed wire around it. Yeah. Barbed wire featured quite heavily.
Maybe he was making him a new hat.
Maybe that's the bow which he ties underneath his chin to keep it on.
Oh, well. So, anyway, we'll put the trailer in the show notes so you can enjoy that yourself. But
hopefully, there's not many games that get you properly scared. Mm. And if this can do that, then maybe some of you even know scary games can scare me, but there's not many.
Speak for yourself. Yeah. I get terrified.
Dead Space, remember?
Oh, God.
you got scared watching Lewis play it.
Sure about that.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway, XCOM Shooter. So this is the supposed upcoming XCOM Shooter game.
First-person shooter,
sorry, that's quite important. The official site and trailers have been taken down. So basically the URL, xcom.com/XCOM, which is a interesting URL, is showing a 404. And at the time of recording this, it's still showing a 404. So it's not even as if it's redirecting somewhere. It's just been pulled down, which you could almost kind of suggest might have been an accident, apart from the fact that two videos relating to the same game on the XCOM YouTube channel have also been moved to private.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Private. I was going to say pirate. I'm not even sure where that was coming from.
Have you had a lobotomy and not told us?
So it's been moved to private.
Yeah.
So this was scheduled originally for release in March, which obviously didn't happen. Apparently there's rumours that it's been moved from a first person to a third person squad based.
Yeah.
So
which I will be peeved off about.
And it's no longer XCOM, it's going to be called the Bureau.
Stop squeaking your frigging chair.
Oh, I didn't realise that was even me.
Stop squeaking your chair, man.
It's rubbing off that.
Oh my god, that was annoying.
I didn't realise
me. You just sitting there doing it on purpose. No reason.
Show note, is that going to be the title, really?
Stop squeaking your chair.
Sorry, what were you saying?
It's going to be rebranded the Bureau, it's no longer XCOM.
Can of Coke, it just went up my nose and I've got that weird tingly feeling at the back of my nose.
Oh, I like that.
When you do that. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I'm peeved off. XCOM, what's the full name of XCOM?
Enemy Unknown.
It's phenomenal, I think. It's a brilliant squad game. Yeah. And why would they bodge this one to be exactly the same
but
as that? Why not?
It's not third person. It's not a RTS sort of.
Yeah, so this was a first person.
No, but you were saying that they've changed it into a third person.
There's rumours to say that it's been changed into a third
person. Yeah, but it's still a third person squad based game, but which still isn't the same as what XCOM Enemy Unknown. That's not.
Yeah, because that's more of an RTS, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not third person.
Yeah, but is it not? Is there a possibility here that maybe because Enemy Unknown was actually quite successful, and maybe they didn't expect it to be as successful as it was, that they've actually pulled the development team and the money away from this to actually make an Enemy Unknown 2?
No idea.
No. That would be completely jumping off common trends. Surely there's at least 5 disappointing DLCs and 1 half decent DLC to come out before there's an Enemy Unknown 2.
I think it basically sends it the
thanks
first
the
person
there,
XCOM is that game's dead as we know it, and it's now be bright. I think it's apparently still going to be set in the same time period.
I was really looking forward to that game. I thought it looked really good.
I would see what it ends up looking like. It might be surprisingly good.
Indeed.
Steam Paul's got like a little drugs weighing scale.
That's from my eBay packages.
Oh, really? Mm. What's all that white?
So the brick of cocaine was already there.
Flour. That's flour.
It's flour.
Right.
It's because
you
it's a
dodgy
kitchen scale.
Son of a bitch.
Why are you measuring flour in your IT room?
Because that was the kitchen scale that moved up to my office to use for eBay. Anyway, we're
Paul, international drug dealer.
So apparently, free-to-play schemes could become unlawful.
You've washed your hands.
So Sam just split the last cookie between the two of them.
Yeah.
So the OFT told CVG in a statement, apparently, as part of the investigation, the OFT has written to companies offering free web or app-based games seeking information and in-game marketing to children.
You scumbag.
What's he done?
He's eating the crumbs at the bottom of the box.
CQTZ2F.
So basically what this is the government body it believes that the whole free-to-play but then buy in-app upgrades is unlawful. I'm basically cutting through it. I think it's interesting. It's crucial to the investigation, apparently.
In what fashion do they think it's unlawful?
Because it's misleading or commercially aggressive or otherwise unfair. I mean, I'm assuming if you make it completely clear that there's in-app purchases and it's completely fair that you can play the game for free, but the in-app purchases add to that experience or maybe speed up gameplay. So, for example,
which is what
some
pretty
of
much
kind of
all of them do,
games,
don't they?
Yeah, but there's there was one, I can't remember. Oh, I should actually looked at this. I think it was Real Racing 3. I might be wrong there. There was a car game that came out very recently, and it was really, really difficult to play it without spending any money.
I've managed it, but to upgrade your car, you have to wait.
Yeah. So you have to kind of like stop playing, put your car to one side, and go away and do something.
Yeah.
It becomes quite annoying. And also, it's the whole kind of if the kid's got in like the iPod Touch and you're playing kiddie games, it's entirely focused at kids and they have just a button that says buy to get more coins to upgrade their Springfield Village and like in the Springfield Tap game and things like that. Then that's what they're talking about as being unlawful.
Yeah. Right. I wonder if, there's quite a lot of games I've went, obviously, there was a monthly fee when you first bought them to, they now went, like, Star Wars The Next World Republic's went free, that's went free to play now. I wonder if that's been a smooth, if that's been a smooth transition, or there's been a lot of problems with that as well.
I don't know. I think there's two sides to this, because on one side there's the ones that are
done
just
well,
bad.
It works, but,
yeah, and they're quite clearly trying to cash in on you know, kids who happen to know their parents' passwords for the iPod Touch or whatever. But then there's other games that are completely genuine, and you have to. People have become so. You know, a few years ago, you'd be completely not cool, but you'd be okay with spending 30 quid, 20 quid upwards, let's say, up to like maybe 50 quid to buy a game, a decent game. And now, because of this whole mobile thing, people are like, my God, you want £1.20 for that game? That's ridiculous.
I've heard rumours that, well, there's some games where basically you can pay to upgrade faster and level up faster, which seems like a bit, you have to pay to do that, just play it. I don't like all that. And it'd be the same thing, say if there was a free to play first person shooter, and say everyone's the same apart from if you give us like 15 quid you get this amazing gun, it kills everyone no problem, then that's what unbalances it, unless you're going, oh boy, this game, well, I'm getting owned by someone who's paid that game, so even if you pay that money, as long as don't go, there's not games that do crap like that.
I think
they should do that in different servers then. If you should have like a paid server and then a more basic free server, that'd be a fair way to do it.
Yeah, I just think if consumers are saying we want cheaper games, and then at the end of the day, development houses have to pay for developers, they have to pay for marketing, they have to pay for graphics people and everything like that. They have to pay them somehow, so they have to find ways to make money from games that consumers are going, no, I'm not going to pay any more than 69 pence.
But people think they can get everything for free. People are arseholes.
Yes.
You're all arseholes.
Us included, to be fair.
I am.
It's all right. In the history, there was arseholes. In the present, there's arseholes. In the future, there'll be arseholes.
Yeah, okay.
Many arseholes. Yeah. Sometimes on the same bottom.
So computer games are not to blame.
If this was to go forward and say there was some kind of ruling to come in for either limit this or to stop it, what do you think?
The amount of arseholes.
No, the whole free-to-play thing.
All right, okay.
Do you think that things like DLC or the whole kind of buy hardware to unlock stuff like Skylanders or Disney Infinity?
I used to hate DLC, but I'm actually coming... As long as it's not first-day DLC, that pisses me off. But when it's done well, it does work. I quite enjoy DLC. Borderlands, I think, is one a prime example of DLC working properly.
What did the DLC for Borderlands do?
They've done a few of them now, though.
Yeah. I bought the season pass. You get all these different silly outfits and things, which I don't give a damn about. That Bede loves them. But I don't give a damn what my character looks like, because you can't see him.
Yeah.
Only other people can see him.
Yeah.
But
unfortunately, we have to look at you every day.
Yeah. Maybe I should buy a new outfit other than this potato sack I've been wearing for the last 6 years. There's three main bits of DLC in there now. There's like a piratey one, which I haven't played yet because I've been saving it back until after I completed the game. There's a kind of tournament thing where you go in there and beat the hell out of people to become the greatest badass in the Badlands. And the third one is like a crazy safari with a bionic gay posh guy. He's awesome,
right?
He's really funny. But I'm gonna just go off on a rant about how good Borderlands is now, but I'm not. Everything was really cheaply, like, it was 20 quid for all three of those and all the other bits and pieces. And each of those bits, and I've only completed one of them, the first one took about 5-6 hours. I think 20 quid for presumably kind of 15 to 20-ish hours is pretty reasonable. On top of the original game, which is at least...
I think it was $29.99 when I bought it on Steam, anyway.
No, I was going to say hours-wise.
Oh, sorry.
I reckon you can get at least kind of 20, 30 hours out of it. Yeah. So 20 quid's pretty decent, I think.
Yeah, I think when they do it like that, I think it's when, as you were saying before, when it's like inventive DLC, such as the whole Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. Red Dead Nightmare as
when
well.
It comes to DLC, I prefer something that adds, it's like got its own little story and adds something to it.
Yeah.
In a meaningful way rather than just a map pack. Yeah. Or something like that.
Just something budged onto the side of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally agree.
Cool. And while we're talking about DLC, a nice little segue there. Far Cry 3.
We have to mention it every single time.
Nice little segue there. Well, actually, I was going to talk about the Dishonored DLC.
I've been playing that this week, but I'll talk about it next time.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, a new trailer has come out for this. So following weeks of leaks, that was fun, Ubisoft has officially announced Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon for release on PS3, Xbox 360, PC and Turbo Mega System. it's great. We'll put a link in the show notes for this as well, but the trailer's done as if you're watching a VHS, and it even has like the long play, short play little icon that appears in the top left hand corners if you're watching a VHS video. There's some amazing quotes inside it. The apocalypse has had an apocalypse. And from the toxic ashes of the Vietnam War 2. It's pretty damn good. I think you need to go and have a look at it. Just as a note, because you know we like to bleep on this show, there is swearing in the trailer. So, you know, if you're of a nervous disposition, don't watch it.
It's basically just a mash of every 80s film together and a massive piss take, but done in a really amusing fashion.
It's Mr. T in it. One of the voices sounded very like Mr. T.
I don't think it is him, but yeah. It would be awesome. You never know. Which is the guy who was in the original Terminator. He plays the guy you play as the protagonist.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
No, the good guy.
I've told you his name, but he was in Terminator and Aliens.
I can't remember his name either. Actually, we could probably just click the link and I'm sure his name's somewhere in the article.
Dave McDougal. He's become my new badger.
His name is Michael Biehn?
Bain or something. Bain. Someone was like
B-I-E-H-N.
I prefer Biehn.
But yeah, that does look interesting, speaking of DLC. So the actual game, there's a huge amount of it in the trailer.
It's a standalone game as well. It's Far Cry 3, but you don't need Far Cry 3 to play it.
Do you know what? I thought it was DLC.
You can just download it.
All right, okay. It does look pretty damn good.
Look, scroll back up again on the front. Very much a Snake Plissken look to him.
Snake Plissken?
Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah.
God, Paul.
Although it's not an eye patch, it's just a laser eye.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, but Snake Plissken was 80s as well, though, so there'll be a lot of riffs from that.
Big fan of the Escape films.
Yep.
Escape from LA was a bit naff, though.
Yeah, I still liked it.
Another version of Star Wars Battlefront 3 gameplay footage has been leaked. Oh, yeah. So, as we all know, Disney confirmed its decision to shut down LucasArts on April the 3rd. But another bit of footage of games that they were working on has been released. So this was Battlefront... excuse me, get my tongue around that. Battlefront 3.
Is this games they're going to complete? Or
no.
They're just taunting us. We made this a little bit. Screw you.
But it seems to be, because it was... Free Radical were in development of a Battlefront 3, then they went tits up. And it looks like LucasArts themselves started developing themselves, and now everything there's been cancelled now. But I wonder if it's really been leaked. I wonder if it's been released just to test the waters to see how many people out there want it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently a Lucasfilm rep did suggest that some of the titles might be rescued. He apparently said, "It's worth noting that we are looking for proven external partners who can help us provide video games to our fans." Yeah. So it's possible.
I want Battlefront 3, but because now LucasArts aren't making them, they can. Well, what developer would you like to see make it?
Yeah,
like somebody like maybe the guys who made Battlefield would be quite cool. But
probably someone very much like Dave McDougal.
Batman Arkham Origins announced, but apparently Rocksteady are not developing.
I think they're overseeing it, I think, and helping them, but they're not developing it. It's a team in Montreal, I think it said.
Yeah. So this will be a prequel. It takes place before Arkham City and Arkham Asylum.
It's set kind of when Batman's kind of first starting out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be optimistic. Another Batman game, awesome. It's using the same game engine and stuff. Mm-hmm. And if Rocksteady have gave it their blessing and hopefully keep them right, and then I don't see why it can be a bad game, but it's still disconcerting that Rocksteady aren't involved. But then it makes me wonder, what are Rocksteady up to?
What I read about it, because it was saying it was kind of an unrefined and
it's learning his trade.
Yeah. It kind
it's like
of
Batman Year One. Have you ever
well,
read
it kind
that?
Of automatically put in, me in mind of the newer version of it, obviously, but Casino Royale. No, not Casino Royale. What's the first one? Was it Casino Royale?
No.
Is that the one where he does the jumping over buildings and smashing through walls and stuff?
Oh, yeah, the start.
The very first. Is that Casino Royale?
You mean the first one with Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, where he's kind of, they've just taken him out of.
It's on conversation there.
I asked the same question. That was a swear. I said I asked the same question three times and you just looked at me blankly. What the hell?
I'm pretty sure I said yeah.
No, you didn't.
I think he did, actually.
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
I know that.
I think we'll listen it back.
Anyway,
and I'll
be
proved right. Once I've edited it.
So this does look quite interesting. There's a couple of extra new features that they're putting in. Apparently, your grappling hook will be able to hook people and objects together. So that should be interesting.
Bizarre.
I think it basically sounds like the same game, but they'll add new features to it and things to it. So I wouldn't expect anything overly massively not different from...
Not different.
Yep.
Okay.
It's my grammar. And,
okay.
But no, I'm optimistic, and a new Batman game can't be a bad thing as long as it's done well.
Indeedly do. So, what are your previews this week, gentlemen?
Are you leaving that last one out?
Oh, sorry, you're right. Apologies.
I think that deserves a mention, being that we had a huge amount to do with it.
So apparently Adam Orth has been fired, or he's left the company, and he's officially blamed the Gamer Show. Only 50% of that's true. But apparently Adam Orth, that we spoke about on last couple of weeks ago's show. So this is the guy that quite openly was having a go at people on Twitter about the fact that it's
he was always going to get fired.
Microsoft have literally unleashed him now.
So this was the guy that was moaning about the fact that nobody should be. He was moaning about the fact that nobody else should be moaning about the fact that systems should require a permanent internet connection.
Well, it was last Saturday when my broadband was down for the whole day, so that would have been really annoying because, like, I was having a quiet Saturday afternoon. So I played some games, but if that was the new Xbox and I needed internet connection, that would be me screwed playing any games.
Mm-hmm. But with his argument, and by no means am I taking his side here, just to get a little bit of friendly discussion going.
Why the hell would you live in Elston? Was that not his argument? Why the hell should he live in a place where it's possible that his internet...
So my argument was actually...
Great, Foreign Clake is going to put his pants through my front door now, thanks.
At least it's his pants.
I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh yeah, if your electricity had went out all day, would that not have been the same?
Yeah,
I would have created a generator.
But that's a fair point. You can get around that. You could put backups in. You can't put a backup to the internet.
No.
Well, you could put another wire in or something.
Or you could use I was going to say 4G, but
3G.
Wouldn't work.
No, not for the Xbox.
The difference is, when I lose broadband, that doesn't stop me using my cooker or my shower.
Mm.
It just stops me playing that next Xbox. Mm-hmm. My power goes out, that stops everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you're completely okay with going to the next village to go and sit in somebody else's house for the day. We were out all day, actually. You could have come over and hang out in our house and put your Xbox all day. Our broadband was fine. Anyway.
Do you know what he does?
Yes. Anyway.
I would have brought my sex dungarees.
The really short, tight ones.
They're just straps.
Yeah.
So, previews this week, gentlemen. What have you got to talk about in terms of previews? Sab, should we just assume that it's Total War 2?
Yeah, probably. That's actually Rome Total War 3. And yes, so I'm not going to say anything.
Cheers.
Cheers. I legitimately don't have anything. I've had an incredibly busy week.
Have Creative Assembly announced anything with Relic yet? Because they bought Relic, did they not?
Did they buy the whole thing or just a few IPs?
They've got something to do with Relic now, so does that not mean they have access to the Warhammer series and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mentioned that a while ago. Because Paul was saying how...
But they've not announced anything.
Because they now say... Well, Sega and Creative Assembly now technically also own... they own like the Warhammer 40k, which spawned the Dawn of War series, which actually I've been playing all day today. So they own that IP, and they own the kind of fantasy style version IP that spawned Shadow of the Horned Rat from years and years ago, and things like Warhammer Online. So now that's all under the same umbrella.
Quite optimistic what's coming out.
Well, try not to be too optimistic. B's been very, because he loves all these games as well, but he's been really
pessimistic.
For
new listeners, B is somebody who's been a guest on this show a couple of times.
I didn't think I'd need to introduce him. He's really the main star of the show, isn't he?
That is true. Yeah. People are just patiently waiting for the next time he makes an appearance.
The next time Cheers lets him out of the cupboard.
Under his bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put some holes in his boxes, all right.
So, yeah. I have high hopes for some really interesting games coming from them in the future.
Cool. Cheers.
Mine was State of Decay. There's a release date of June for that now. And, yeah, I think it looks pretty cool. A third-person zombie game where you have to... you can create... I didn't realise you can actually... select more than one. You start off with a card at the start, and then, but to actually choose different characters, you have to friend them and earn their trust, and then create a little like a community, if you will, and then try and fortify that. And then you can, whoever joins your community can then, once you gain their trust, you can then control them, who have abilities and whatnot. Say if one's like a trained soldier and whatnot, you can send them out to scavenge whatnot. And the game looks pretty impressive. It's
right at the beginning, though. A download only game. Select. As well. I thought you said slept. And I thought you were going to say that you could sleep with more than one person at once. Would have also been quite cool, but that was slightly better.
You never
better,
know,
actually.
It might be a perk in the
game. Yeah, cool.
After, you know.
Once you've earned their trust.
Yeah. If you do it before that, it's not nice.
My one is apparently The Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past is getting a sequel in the 3DS. And it's the same top-down view. So this is the original Link to the Past was...
Why is this apparently...
No, sorry. No, it's not apparently. They are actually doing it.
Right. So where did the word apparently...
I just threw it in for creativity. Right, crack on then.
He uses that word. It's like one of his words he does.
Okay. One of the words that he does.
Because if
it sound like he has a vocabulary of like 10 words.
Well,
apparently. Chop.
Well,
poo.
Well, going by how you read stuff out, it's quite clearly these words are quite new to them.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Apparently!
His name's not Darlik.
So, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past 2 is coming out in the 3DS. Same top-down view, but it's going to make use of all of the 3D features and things like that of the 3DS.
Is it a proper sequel or is it a remake?
It's a proper sequel. Right. It's in the same world, but it's a sequel. Lots of extra things that they're doing.
So you're actually playing as the same Link?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So is that not a first for a long time? Because usually you're like a reincarnated version of him or something, you know?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the Zelda franchise to be able to answer that accurately, I have to say.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know.
I thought it was
the
all
time.
The same bloke. Is it
no,
not?
No.
You play Link reincarnated through different times and eras and whatnot. It must be the same as Zelda as well.
What a
nightmarish over... What's the word I'm looking for? Recurring theme.
Yeah.
Oh, God, works, I hope though. Mario was like that. That way Mario's died like loads of times. That makes me feel so much better.
So this looks really good. I'm quite interested in this. It's supposed to, you know, I think it's later this year. That's really helpful, but I can't remember when the release date was.
Because they announced that in the Nintendo live stream thing, didn't they?
Yeah.
What platform was it again?
3DS.
2DS.
Yeah. Anyway.
Still not a whole lot for the Wii U overly announced, is there?
There really isn't. Pikmin 3 is coming out.
That looks quite interesting, I think, but there's nothing else really grabbed me for the Wii U.
Coincidentally, I'm about to go on to talk about the Lego game, but I'm just quickly trying to do a quick search to find out when the Link to the Past is going to come out. Holiday 2013. So, it is going to be coming out.
What is holiday?
That's an American term for Christmas time.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is a bleep. Anyway. Chiz, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing Bulletstorm, which came out a few years ago, which I've been meaning to get around to playing for a while since I played the demo. It's actually just a good, solid, fun first-person shooter where doesn't take itself seriously at all. It's tongue-in-cheek, it's got a good sense of humour, and just a good, fun, solid game. You've got like a leash weapon on your left hand, which you can then pull or yank people about, and then, say, boot them into a cactus tree so they get impaled into that. And yeah, it just, it's all about trying to kill people in the most expressive way you can. But it's a really good fun game. I recommend it for any people who like their porn games where it's just instant action. And
is that the official term for those type of games?
I'm coining that. And so you know, like it. And it's just like it's a game's barmy. It never really gets boring at all, because like each level they just throw something totally mental at you for the next thing. And there's a bit where you're getting attacked by a mechanical dinosaur, and then you're about to, like, then you get cornered by it, and then you notice in the back there's a little guy with the remote control controlling it. So you shoot him in the head and pick up the remote control, then you start controlling it. But it's quite funny what the guy you're playing at, what he's saying. I can't remember what he calls it, but he calls it like a pet name, and he's having fun and calling. I don't know. I'll not ruin the humour for it. Play it, I recommend it. It'll be cheap as chips now. And cool. A good, fun, solid game.
That also came with, it was a demo access code for people to play the multiplayer of Gears of War 3 before it came out.
Because it's made by...
Which is why I just bought it.
Yeah, well, it's... I almost bought it for the same reason back then. But I didn't at the time.
The game came out years ago. I got it through Love Film.
All right.
Because it's made by a developer called... it's People Can Fly, who I think are owned or have something to do with Epic, and they've actually made the latest Gears of War game, Gears of War Judgment.
Yeah, cool. Okay, Sam, what have you been playing this week?
Dawn of War.
Okay.
Of various different incarnations.
The DLC, kind of different DLCs and add-on packs and stuff.
I definitely prefer all the
first generation.
Yeah. To the second, which I also played.
It's still good, but it's lost a bit of the...
It has.
As soon as you get the Terminator armour, it comes hiding behind stuff, becomes non-existent, and it kind of becomes
pointless. But you don't need to. You don't need to do anything. You just bash through everything and punch... sorry, Paul. In the face.
Damn you.
Are we actually apologising for this name?
Yeah, well, that one I didn't mean to do, but the previous ones I definitely did. Yes, I've been playing that, and also Borderlands 3 again, but I've already ranted about that.
Finally, 3?
2.
Oh, I thought you had early access there.
Yeah, I do. I wasn't supposed to say it. No,
do you want me to bleep that?
Yeah. Borderlands 2, which I've now finally completed it with Bede, basically done the whole game, kind of the two of us playing through it.
Cool.
It's made it... I don't know, you know when you're sitting... Because Borderlands 2 is a really funny game. And you're sitting there and you're kind of chuckling away. But when you're sitting chuckling away to yourself, it's just not as good. A joke shared is a lot funnier than a joke by yourself.
Yeah.
So doing it with someone else, I don't know. I think I probably enjoyed it far more than I would have done just plodding through on my own.
I generally find that. I find that playing co-op in games, I enjoy far more. And I'm more likely to complete than playing on my own.
Because someone's there to bully you along.
Well, it's more a case of...
It depends on the game and who you're playing it with as well. Because there'll be some games you're trying to listen to someone and the other person there is going... Nah, 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 nah.
Yeah, well, you probably find that a lot because you are the person who you have to drag through all the games. It's like, all right, okay, I could really do this legendary, this achievement on this particular game. Chiz, are you busy tonight?
I remember playing... Splinter Cell with you, and which is a stealthy, silent game. Well, I'm being really creepy, like,
and I'm running in the middle with two guns.
It's like, I'm high, right, we take these guys out, and Paul just, like, basically stumbles over a table and alerts everyone. It's just that, so, like, all right, brilliant, then over here.
Yeah, I am the Leroy Jenkins of Splinter Cell. Yes.
Sorry, guys, where's the bathroom?
Yes. No, I do agree with Sam, though. Some of those games are
definitely. Like,
for example, nice segue here. There was quite a few... I've been playing, as I mentioned in the last podcast, so I've been playing Lego City Undercover, but I felt like I hadn't played it enough in the last show for talk much about it. But there's a lot of that.
The 10 minutes before this podcast you have now.
No, I was playing it for quite a while this afternoon.
Okay.
And I didn't play it.
15 to 20 minutes.
No, I actually am really enjoying the game. just right up front, I'm going to say that it still isn't selling the Wii U to me. It's not a game to buy the Wii U for, and I don't even think it's a game...
It's for example, is anything on it that wouldn't work on the PSG or...
Yeah, okay, Xbox? So I'll explain that in a second, but... I don't think it's a good enough game to run out and buy a Wii U. However, if you've got one, I would definitely say it's a buy.
What about that combined with Zombie U? Is it Zombie U?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Obscenely tough.
Yeah, I think if you had...
Which is the appealing factor of it.
Yeah. I think for some of the other... one of the other games is like the Nintendo Land. If you have kids or something like that, then yes, it's sort of kind of...
It's
meandering
a
towards
a small group of people.
So Lego City Undercover, the humor is quite good in it, and it was actually just on what you were saying there, Sam. Was a few times I was sniggering away at myself, and I was kind of like, oh, God, well, I wonder if I can come back to this level when you guys arrive to do the show to show you some of the funny bits.
It is much funnier that way, I think.
It is. But so basically the game is that you play a policeman who has been away for a while, and he comes back to the city that he was sent away from, and he was basically a hero in that city to a degree, and he caused all sorts of problems. I'm not going to ruin too much of the plot because Chiz will have a fit, but
it's Lego.
It doesn't matter, people might want to know about the plot. So
Lego has spoilers too, Chiz.
It's quite good. The two biggest things that I have a problem with in the game, the number one is the loading screens, which do actually reduce as you go through the game. For some reason, the first kind of three or four levels you get a huge amount of loading screens, but I've noticed in the levels that I'm on now, you seem to just get a loading screen at the beginning of the mission, and then it kind of disappears as the game goes on. Whereas
almost like towards the end, they realise, oh God, this is going to get annoying. Let's fix it.
Well, it's
but
almost
not fix what we've already done.
Yeah. We've already done that. It's just
well, I think it's more like at the beginning of the game, there's a lot more things happening. There's a lot more of the levels kind of expanding. You're getting a lot more abilities and things like that. So there's a lot more stuff loading. It actually takes the mick out of itself at one point because, and this connects on to what you were saying about not being able to play it on the Xbox or the PlayStation 3. But
so many segues.
The main character in the game actually gets a communicator device, which is essentially a Nintendo gamepad, and he uses that through the game to communicate with the headquarters, and like he's able to use it to scan areas to find certain things and things like that. And it's really quite cool how that's done. So for example, you can use a scanner thing to find the enemy that you're currently chasing. So you hold the gamepad up to the telly, and you can actually move the gamepad around, and it's like almost like X-ray specs scans the area. Right. And if like an enemy is on the other side of a building or inside a building, it pinpoints them for you. You also get these things called super bricks, which basically allows you to build things through the level. So for example, you need to build a ferry to go across to an island. You need to build these station points where you can kind of spawn cars and things like that for driving about. And you have to collect these super bricks, and you can use the thing for doing that. And also you get messages through on it, your map and your kind of satellite navigation for your car and everything like that's on the gamepad. So it's quite cool. But when you originally get the gamepad, you have to go to a computer to basically switch it on and log it on to yourself. And as the kind of cut scenes going on, he mutters on, as he plugs in the gamepad and he sees a progress indicator come up on the screen, and he kind of mutters under his breath, progress indicators. And so it's kind of been a little bit, you know, it's fully aware that it's one of the main fails with the game. The second fail is the cutscenes. You can't do anything in. So there's one particular cutscene whereby you've got a hose pipe, and the hose pipe needs to come on. So you go over and you turn the tap on, and it still won't come on, and it's because stuff's lying on the hose pipe at five different places. So you basically have to go over and smash it, and it disappears, and then the water can flow through. So first time you kind of go across and you smash it, and then it gets a cutscene of the water starting to flow through it, and you're kind of, all right, okay, fair enough. But that cutscene lasts a good couple of seconds, and you're kind of like, right, let me go. And then it does that every single time you smash it. And it's like, I've got it now. I understand that smashing these blocks is going to allow this to happen. And it's just the cutscenes are quite frustrating. They last just a tiny section longer than it should do. And you're just like, oh, just let me get on with it. All right, okay, we're going now.
Do you think it does that because it is a game it's aimed at, well, adults as well, but also at its kids as well?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's just too many points in the game where I'm like trying to like move the character and I can't yet. And it's, oh, come on, I get what I'm supposed to do. Move on. I think as well, the cutscenes look exactly like the game, except there's audio going on over the top. So maybe it's something about that it completely looks like I should be able to move my character, but it's not letting me. And yeah, so, but other than that, it's actually a very good game. It's got a lot of comedy in it. There's a lot of completely random scenes, like There's one scene in particular where, actually, no, that's okay. You basically have to ride on this ride-on bull that's randomly in an office, which then allows the safe to be opened. And it's just, it's sort of like that kind of fun randomness of some of the levels. It's quite good.
Am I right in thinking that this is the second part, but the first part hasn't been released yet? Like the prequel hasn't been released yet.
And I didn't know that was the case.
Coming out on like the PSP. No, not the PSP. What's the little Nintendo PSP one?
Or the 3DS. It's possible. It would make complete sense because the whole game is based around a story that's happened prior.
There's a 3DS version of the game as well, unless that's got something to do with it.
Yeah,
it would make complete sense.
I'm pretty sure that the first part of it hasn't come out yet, but that the first part is only coming out on the 3DS, as far as I read.
I would definitely buy that.
I knew stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Well done. But
he do stuff we didn't.
Or
that's even more.
Or he just made
that
up.
Pretty imaginative just now.
If you got a Wii U, I would definitely make the purchase. If you've not, I don't think it's a reason to buy a Wii
U.
It's
not a system seller, but
yeah, no, I don't think so. It's a very good game though. Yes, highly recommend it. So, I will just take this moment to take a short break and thank UK2, who are our sponsors. They're fantastic. If you head on over to the British Tech Network, click on the sponsors link, and there's a bunch of voucher codes for getting all sorts of awesome stuff for discounts in the UK2 store, I suppose. So things like VPS, VPN, domain names, you get 20% off domain names. I don't think anybody else does that. But they support UK2. Of course they support UK2. It's their own company. They support British Tech, and we hope that you support them. They're absolutely fantastic. So please head on over there. But please come to the British Tech Network website. Don't just use the voucher codes, because that click-through is actually what matters to us. They're absolutely fantastic. So that's UK2. So finally, gentlemen, your bargain basement challenges this week. I went and bought some new games, by the way, and you'll be pleased to know that I am actually quite chuffed at what games I managed to get for under £3. There's some quite good ones, I think, for under £3. So anyway, we'll talk about last week.
I think our listener base of four people like it, and we have horrible games.
Yeah, they probably do, actually. Now, the guy in CEX, when I was buying them, he was blown away at how many quite okay games I was getting for like £30 or something.
He's usually amazed at the crap you
get. Yeah, I know.
Do you have to explain why you're buying
every time? Every time. Because
everyone's just kind of looking, it's the tramp lady back again.
I think you're personally keeping CEX going.
Well, I normally go in and I buy like kind of 30 games at a time, and I'm going in with a stack, and the guys behind the tiller kind of going, oh, I'm going to get some sales out here, and it comes like £12.50. Not never that cheap, actually. But I have to explain every single time why I'm buying all these games. Because one of the games, he was like, do you know that you can get like the more up-to-date version for like an extra £3? And I was like, yeah, it has to be under £3, though. Oh, why? And then I had to go through the whole explanation all over again.
Like, because it does. Shop man, serve me now.
I think it's just throw your coins in his face.
Anyway, so
no, except cheers. With Paul, it's only ever plastic. So that's why he has that sharp edge down his cards.
He doesn't even have a wallet; he just throws the lint in his pocket.
Blinding lint, run!
So, Chiz, you had One Must Fall,
Battlegrounds.
Oh, it looked like there was a name in the middle there, but it's not.
No, it's just Battlegrounds. That's a fist. It's One Must Fall, fist, Battlegrounds. Installed, and I thought, right, I bet this doesn't work. Game, actually, it did work, it ran, but as soon as I went into in-game stuff, apart from the HUD, the whole screen was pure white. I could hear the sound effects and the music and stuff, cool. Which was quite funky. But
you said you took a recording of that.
Yeah.
Are you going to play the recording for us?
I suppose you can hear me.
I didn't know he took a recording of it.
There's actually a video, which I can't obviously do of this, but you can also hear me ape-fisting the keyboard to get it going in the background as well. Make sure it's turned up.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, you can hear you smashing away in the background there.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
That'll do it. So, yeah, I danced to it. But I went on the YouTube to see what the game was like afterwards. It's just a third person.
That's what he does every week.
annoyed.
Yeah. I've heard he does go to Wikipedia and just read about them sometimes.
just for the games I can't get going, or I've totally forgotten to play. So
50% of them.
it's a third person game, battle game with like two or three folk fighting, and it just looked awful. I'm kind of glad I never played it. But like, I watched it and some guy talking through it to play it, but I still went, I was like, what is going on here? Like, some, like, the avatar you could choose to play as, he still like seemed to control a robot or some weird, it looked nothing like your avatar. And hence why I called it Avatar, I suppose. But they were just like weird look at, there's a guy that basically looked like a really bad wrestler with long blonde hair who was called something like Sebastian. And yeah, and women with very little clothes but still looked mental. But yeah, that was One Must Fall. Fist Battleground.
And Sam, you had Emperor's New Groove.
I did. Didn't work at all.
Oh.
Legitimately put the disc in and basically, I don't think my computer could read the disc. It just kind of all froze up. So I had a look on the back of the box, and as I looked on the back of the box...
You didn't even YouTube it.
No, I didn't. Because I don't think you really need to. I could probably tell you the whole thing. You're a little lad, and you have to get the llama, who is the emperor, back to the palace to make him drink a potion. Because it says that on the back of the box. Now, I read the specs on the back of the box. And it does say up to XP, so I presumed I would be able to run it in compatibility mode, yeah. But just put the disc in and it refused to read at all. On the disc, however, it does say 95/98.
Was the disc damaged at all? It should still
No, I don't think so. It was all right. Mm. But put it in, froze up, and like the whole computer froze up. It just wouldn't do anything. Couldn't open Steam to play another game until I ejected that disc.
Wow.
Yeah.
Screwed your machine. Wow.
However, for penance for not playing my game, and after watching Random Encounters, I showed Amy and my girlfriend a video of a random encounter video.
Another one you're going to
the Grey's Anatomy one, Chase.
Oh, is it that one? Yeah.
Yeah. Amy loves Grey's Anatomy, and.
The game is horrific.
She then demanded that I go out and buy it for her. So I hunted for ages and ages and ages and ages. And then I actually just found it randomly on Amazon. So I got it from Amazon and briefly played that. It's about as bad as it looked in that video.
Right.
Yeah. It's like mostly about trying to get hot male doctors to shag you. And not that much about, like, healing people.
I don't think we need to bleep that, because that's the name of a film.
What?
That word.
Shag.
Shagging doctors.
Shag's fine.
Shag fine.
Oh, yeah,
fine.
I could have been talking about the dance, or...
the bird.
The bird, yeah. Could have been anything.
Okay.
So...
Ewan, just for the record, if I'm supposed to bleep that, please let me know for future reference, but for the moment, I'm leaving it.
That's fine.
Ewan loves a bit of shag. Shag rug. I can see him having a big shag rug in his workroom.
He's a shag
anyway.
He does look like a shag rug person.
He does look like a shag rug person.
Anyway, I'm going to move
shag
on before
pug.
shag pug.
Yeah, I got shag like pug. A shag pug. It's like a little pug.
Okay, we're getting into interesting territories. Right, so.
Can we breed a pug to be like a shag?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
we should do that.
It's our dream chase.
Spliced out the bugger.
Oh, for goodness. Right, I have to bleep that.
Splice. And you said bugger early on.
Did you? Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, I had Thief 3.
Although, going well. Yeah. Don't ruin it.
Although for the second week in a row, you spelt Thief wrong.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yes, he has. Well done.
And it's even got a red light under it. I've never done anything about it.
I wouldn't mind it once. I thought, you know, but twice in a row.
So, Paul, after all of the build-up of like a month and a bit, did you find Thief 3?
What? I think the biggest...
although we call it Thief 3, but it's Thief Deadly Shadows.
Mm. Doesn't it's really say Thief 3.
So, I had to find a computer to play it because there was no way I could play it on my Mac. So I dug out an old laptop and managed to play it. But the problem was, I think the laptop's graphics card wasn't good enough. But interestingly, the processor seemed to be too good, because in between the levels, it like gives you like hints and tips and things like that. And I couldn't read them because they were going that fast, because the level was loading that quickly. But the graphics card, it was really, really difficult to get through the game, because it was quite jerky. And I tried to fiddle with the graphics settings and things like that, and didn't make too much difference.
I think you should come down to my house. I have all of them, but they're on Steam, so I can't give them to you.
Right.
And I think you should spend like an hour at my house playing Thief 1.
Yeah, no, I want to play Thief 1. It was enough to make me interested in the franchise, but I just found the game quite... just because the laptop...
It's hard enough even without your bad frame rate.
Yeah. It was good. I think I got to like the fourth level or something like that. I was going for an Opal. And it was quite interesting. I liked the game. I like that whole kind of hang out in the shadows type,
sneaky, hit people from actually behind, being kind of scared of people because they will blatantly kill you.
Yeah,
that's what I like.
Yeah, a couple of things that I had a problem with it. It took ages to install. It took 40 minutes to install, which I was blown away with. I don't know whether it was having a problem reading somewhere on the disc, but it just sat there for 40 minutes.
Maybe in the laptop, maybe. Even.
So yeah, I sat and played Minecraft for that 40 minutes. It was all good. Everybody in the game has a kind of medieval English accent.
Is it people doing a bad English accent?
It's an English accent. But the guy in the game clearly has an American accent.
Garrett.
Yeah.
he's always an American accent, but it doesn't make any sense. Mm. American accents didn't exist around that period.
But it's not in this world, quite blatantly.
Yeah,
I know, but still, the era it's going for... Well, he shouldn't have an American accent then if he's not in this world, or an English accent for that matter. Anyway, that's by the by. There was a weird bit...
What kind of freaking accent do you want, Paul?
I'm not of this world accent.
Well, explain what a not of this world accent
not
is.
An English, not an American accent, not a Chinese or a Scottish or a Canadian or a African, just... Anyway, by the by. And the other thing was, I really kind of was interested to play the rest of the game, so I'm quite keen for it to play it on your computer, if it plays it really well, because between the second and third levels, it does this funny little cutscene where a kind of an odd-looking monk is writing on parchment, and it's kind of flaming, and then nothing really happens. It just has like really kind of zoomed in his eyes, trying to make drama.
I love the way
it rolls up the page.
Shifty eyes.
Shifty eyes, yeah. Rolls up the page, puts it in a drawer, and the page is smoking. Then he closes the drawer, and then it carries on to Garrett blethering about the fact that he's trying to get an Opal. And he's like, I don't know what that is.
Garrett's part of the Keepers, and they're the Keepers, and the Keepers, no one really knows. They just kind of keep knowledge.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to play the rest of the game for to find that out, but I couldn't have played it in that horrendous frame rate.
I've always loved the cutscenes in Thief.
It was quite
cartoony,
funny.
Some of them move. Some of them are quite sinister as well. I like them.
It was good. But
so has it whetted your appetite for the new game?
I think it is. I'll definitely pick up the new game. And I will definitely have a shot of the first three if I can get them working on machines that have decent frame rates. I actually looked into trying to get Thief working on my Mac as well, if somebody had like done some kind of wine port or something like that. But apparently it works really, really badly, or it's really, really difficult, and I can't be arsed. I don't want to play it that badly.
That's fair enough. No, I'm totally down with that.
So, this week, I thought I'd do it a little bit different. And
we're just doing this like we actually remember to do this.
Yeah, we're
okay.
Well done, Sam. We actually forgot to give each other games.
I just want to clarify that.
I'm going to let you choose. So, Sam, I'd like you to reach into my sack.
That's Chase you're looking at. So, are you talking to me or are you talking to him?
Cheers. Right. Reach into my sack.
Okay. At least it's actually a bag this time. Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway.
Mm. Be a little bit more enthusiastic, Sam.
It's not mine. I don't
Do we have any quotes?
Are we choosing other people's games? Is this his game?
No, that's your game.
Okay. There's only one way out of hell, and that's through it. September 1944, it was one of the darkest moments of the World War II camp. I've got Paul's disease. So September 1944. Tourette's. Anyway, move on.
I don't have Tourette's. Sam?
Stop moving in the way!
You push it down the way.
Oh.
He loves the sports games.
What did he get?
NFL Tour.
I'm not even talking about it.
Rock the tour. Make highlights in the limelight. Limelight? Tour the country, battling the NFL's elite. Arcade action featuring revolutionary reversal system. Simplified controls for any NFL fan. Here you go. Simplified it for you.
I freaking need it.
Right, what have I got?
You have got DLC Quest. Just because I thought it was quite fun, actually. Just sounds like DLC... Well, yeah. It looks a bit kind of Minecraft-y graphics-wise.
Okay.
I don't really know much past that. I just saw DLC Quest and thought it kind of fitting with...
Synopsis.
No, there's not really a synopsis. I'm just literally buying it just now.
DLC call from Going Loud Studios. What happens when DLC practices go too far? An indie developer makes a game that mocks the industry and its foibles. That's what. Defeat the bad guy, save the world, and get the girl. But first you'll have to find the coins to buy DLC to enable animation, sound, and even pausing. Thankfully, this is just satire, and all the DLC is purchased with in-game coins, but consider it a cautionary tale for the future. So, cool.
There we go.
That actually might be all right.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
What I was thinking.
Yeah, grand. Okay, so that's basically it for this week. A couple of things that we just have to point out. Please give us reviews on the show. I haven't checked any of the international stores, so if you left a review in an international store, please drop me an email so that I don't have to click through all of them. That would be really helpful. And I will read your review out as well. The Bash is coming up. It's on Saturday, the 6th of July. It's in Birmingham. Please come along and see basically what we're going to do. Is we are going to have the quiz that you would have heard at Christmas time if you're a long-time listener. If you're just a new listener, please listen to the Christmas quiz. I think that's hands down the best show we've ever done compared to this rubbish. Basically, Chiz walked away with it in quite a significant style. So what we're going to do at the Bash is we're going to set up four teams against Chiz.
I'd rather just get drunk.
But we're doing...
Why can't we just get wasted?
Well, you could do that as well. But because it's a family show, I'm not letting Chiz get wasted because the amount of swearing that'll come out of him, and there's going to be at least 12 kids at the Bash.
Oh, yeah, because I'm clean when I'm drunk.
That's true. Yeah, but he gets punchy. So
only on a certain drink.
We're not going to go down there. We're not mentioning
it. Yeah, hell of a lot of it.
So basically, if you want to come down and you want to join one of the teams to compete with Chiz and see if you can take away the coveted Gamer Show quiz title, then... please make your way down. If you head on over to the British Tech Network, you can click on
it. So coveted, it's not you just made it up.
Yeah, I did.
just a title as well. We're not doing an award or anything.
No.
Can we not?
A sash.
Just like Budge one.
Sash. Yes, there will be a sash.
Yes. Oh, broken.
We've just broken the monitor.
I got excited. A sash. A sash is a great idea.
So if you want to come along to the Bash, you have to get your tickets soon. I know it's not till the 6th of July, but basically Ewan's organising like catering and booze and things like that. So you need to book your tickets now so he knows what kind of numbers there are. So if you head on over to the British Tech Network, you can't miss it. Massive big banner at the top of the page, and you can click through to buy tickets for the Bash. They're £20 per person. Now, don't think that that's £20 to get in. We're not Glastonbury or Tea in the Park or something like that. Basically, all you're doing is you're paying up front for your beer and your food for the day. That's basically what the £20 is. And so basically, with that £20, Ewan will go away and he will put all that money together and get caterers and booze and things like that. So it's basically just all we're doing is instead at the end of the night, Ewan asking for everybody's £20 because he's had to pay it out of his own pocket. We're just having it up front, which I think is completely fair. Also, if you're down, if you're travelling or you're in the area on the Friday night, we're going for a curry in what, in my opinion, is one of the best curry restaurants I've ever been to. There's basically a £10... What's up?
In your opinion, it's the best curry restaurant that you've ever been to? Because if it was like my opinion... It was the best curry restaurant you'd ever been to. That would be a bit pointless. But sorry.
I disagree, Paul. You've been to better. Yeah.
I was just being pedantic. Sorry.
So anyway, there's a £10...
Apparently he's been to the best.
Apparently I think it's the best one he's ever been to.
Oh, jeez. Right, okay. So £10 deposit for the curry, and basically what that is that's not you paying for the curry, that's basically a tenner off the curry at the end. So you're basically just booking your seat so that they know how many numbers are coming along that night. We'd love to see you coming along. The three of us are going to be there. The guys from the iOS show are going to be there.
Why'd you tell them that? No one's going to come now.
Well, no, they've got a challenge. Who on earth are they challenging Chiz if he's not there?
No, I thought you meant the curry. We're not doing it at the curry.
Oh, no, we're doing the quiz on the Saturday. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so a whole bunch of the guys from the iOS show are coming, apart from Streak. I don't think Streak's coming. We're all going to be there, and guys from the Mac show and the media show and everything like that. It's absolutely fantastic. I was there last year. Really good laugh. Yeah, and I think all the shows, or at least most of the shows, are going to be done live during the course of the day, and there's booze, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. So come along to that. If you want to get in contact with the show, please email BritishTechNews@gmail.com. If you want to tweet me, please do so at Paul Wheatley. If you want to tweet Sam, you can do that at...
Don't.
Dr. Nasty Flaps, but he doesn't check it.
I don't think anyone's ever tweeted me.
Well, do that now. Please, somebody, tweet Sam.
Don't bother.
That's all we have.
Also, don't join my team, because I will merely expect you to fetch me biscuits, booze... and oil my spotty backside.
But if you do want to join Sab's team, you have to pay him in biscuits to join his team. So please bring packets of the biscuits that he covets.
I'm going to come back with the biscuits.
Thanks for that at the end of the show. Well, that's all we've got time for, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Good night.